Just to let y'all know, we have an anniversary today. Ruth and Ray have been married now for 12 years. Ray, I want to congratulate you for putting up with her for that long. And then we have a birthday boy here. Wes, you don't look a day over 80. Happy birthday, Wes. How old are you now?
24.
Yeah, we never thought you'd make it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to come together and have fun and talk and enjoy each other's company. But now we turn to your word. We ask you to open our hearts and our minds to understand what you would teach us through your word this morning. Allow me to be able to speak truth to whatever here and allow each of us to discuss it and learn from each other. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. From what Terrell said, I'm supposed to be in Genesis 26. So I have to trust Terrell because I wasn't here last week. So if we're wrong, it's all Terrell's fault. Genesis 26, and we'll start right off into it. It says in Genesis 26:1, it says, "And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of Philistines, in Gear." A famine. We don't see many famines, do we? Has any of us ever really experienced a famine? In the United States, I don't think we've really had a famine since like the Dust Bowl. I think you would consider that a famine. Yes, sir.
Probably was one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like I said, the famine, or the Dust Bowl, I think you would probably consider that a famine whenever everything died out. But a famine's a terrible thing to happen. We hear about it all the time, like in Africa and everything, where the locusts come across and eat all the vegetation and everything. And basically, it makes the area where you're living in untenable. You cannot scrape enough substance off of the land to be able to continue on with what you're doing. And let's face it, Abraham left Isaac with a lot of stuff. He's got herds and everything like this. This is a big operation they're running. So it takes a lot to keep everything going. And so the famine hits this land. It goes on to say that this is not the same famine that was happened back during Abraham. This is a different one. And so Isaac, he's going to go. He says he goes down to, he went unto Abimelech the king of the Philistines in Gear. And at that particular time, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Go not down into Egypt and dwell in the land where of which I shall tell thee of." Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I tell thee of. And so, if we got God appearing to Isaac in some sort of way and telling him not to go to Egypt, I think we could be really sure that Isaac would plan on going to Egypt to get away from this famine, right? And nothing good could happen in Egypt there. His father went to Egypt and there was some issues in Egypt. The concubines come from Egypt. If you go into Egypt, you're going to have all these foreign influences coming into your life. And God doesn't want that. So God says, don't go down to Egypt. He appears to Isaac and says, don't go down to Egypt, but go to where a land I'm going to show you, or I'm going to tell thee of. He says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply, as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed, all these countries, and in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. He's reiterating the same oath he gave to Abraham way back when, right? And he said, goes on to say, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws. I'm not doing this because of you, Isaac. I'm doing this because of Abraham did all this. And I made this promise to Abraham way back when. Yes, sir? Okay. Yes, ma'am. But he's supposed to stay where he is. He was planning on going to Egypt. Why? Because Egypt has a land of bounty. He can go there and he can be taken care of, right? Yes, sir. Yep. So we can see at this particular time that God has intervened. Isaac was attempting to go to Egypt to get away from these bad times that was coming, the famine that was hitting the land. And we know that later on, I don't want to give us steal much thunder, but later on, they're going to go to Egypt, right? But that's a whole other story with a whole other guy. But at this particular time, God does not want them there. God has other plans for them. So he says, stay out here. Stay in the land which I'm going to show you. And I will prosper you. And I'm doing this all because of what I promised your brother. All because of what his father did. It has nothing to do with what Isaac did. Abraham paid the price for this one. He goes on to say, and Isaac dwelt in Gear. Hope I'm saying that right. And the man in the place, of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. Wait a second, where have we heard that before? Anyway, he says, so the man of this place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the man of this place should kill me for Rebekah because she was fair to look on. That was the same reasoning that Abraham gave early on, right? And he did it twice. I tell you one thing, they must produce some fascinating women for out of this line over here. Because they are some beautiful women up into the age. But he is just, he's scared that because his wife is so pretty, that they're going to kill him and take her. So he's doing this to protect himself. But how is he protecting his wife? If he says she's my wife, at least she has some protection of being married. If he says she's my sister, what protection does she have? So I'm looking at this. It's like this man's out for himself sometimes, right? Let me take care of myself, and I don't care about what happens to her. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading something into that. But it's kind of strange how, you know, it's all about me. And it kind of, his son Jacob kind of pushes that on him forward a little bit more later on. So anyway, he goes into there and he says to them, he's like, no, she's my sister. She's not my wife. It goes on to say in the next verse, it says that it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out his window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Now, I've read several things. This one says sporting, and this is the King James. Young's literal translation says playing, and the ESV says laughing. What we do know is this. They said that this is your sister. This is my sister. And evidently, he's living really close to the palace because Abimelech, the king, looks out his window and he sees him dealing with his wife in some way that is not normal for a brother and sister to deal with each other. When the way they're interacting, Abimelech draws from his mind that this is not his wife. I mean, this is not his sister. There's a relationship going on here. So whatever it is, whatever is happening this time, it's something that's intimate that happens between husband and wife. So he looks out his window and he sees something going on that's not normal for a brother and sister, but it's normal for a wife. And he calls the man to the carpet over it. So what does Abimelech do? Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is surety." Behold, of surety, she is thy wife, and how sayest thou that she is my sister? And Isaac said, because I said, lest I die for her. In other words, Isaac is saying to this man's face, I lied to you because I thought y'all were going to kill me for her. What does that say about your host? You don't even trust your host that you're living with to tell them the truth. Abraham did the same thing twice. But you're staying in somebody's house and you're lying to them about who you are. What kind of trust does that build between people? And it's amazing that he thinks that he can't tell the truth about this. And it is amazing that he sees what's happened with his father two times. I'm pretty sure he knew about it. And he does the same exact thing. The old adage, like father, like son, right? What does Abimelech say to this? And Abimelech said, What is it that thou hast done unto us? What is this that y'all have done to us? This is an abomination. Why have you done this to us? One of my people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guilt upon us. Because you lied to us. Evidently, this was a very frivolous society. Because it says, one of my subjects or somebody might have lied with your wife, had relations with your wife, and you would have made us guilty because of that, through your lie. And it's like, how could you do this? You could have brought damnation upon us. Why did you do this? And at that particular time, Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now, they hold evidently they hold Isaac in esteem. Because if it had been me, he'd have been kicked out of my country immediately at that particular time. I would have dealt heartlessly with Isaac, but they didn't at this particular time. They held him to a very high esteem. So what did he do? He said, basically he told his people, hands off of this woman. Hands off of this woman. She belongs to Isaac. Don't touch her. If you do, you're going to die. Real simple. Death penalty. So he charges people saying that he that touches this man or his wife shall surely die. So not only did he say to him, don't touch Rebekah, don't even think about killing Isaac to get to her. Because if they had killed Isaac off, now she's a free woman. They can do what they want to, right? So don't touch him or her. So Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. So he sowed in this land. He just redeemed a bountiful harvest from the land. He was growing and growing a hundredfold. That means that every lamb went over 100, right? Is that right? That time 100. Would you consider a hundredfold time 100? Yeah, so that means if you start with 10, now you got 1,000, if my math is right. What? No, no, that would be tenfold. 1,000. It's 1,000. Thank you. I was trying not to use the new math. But the Lord blessed him mightily, okay? And so he says that same year he received a hundredfold and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew and become very great. So the Lord blessed Isaac while he was sitting in this famine time, okay? And he just allowed his flocks and his herds and his money and everything just to grow and grow and grow. He had for his possession flocks and herds and great stores of servants. And for this, the Philistine envied him. He's like, we live in the same land, and this man is just prospering like we just don't know. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Genesis 26:14. Sorry, sir. Genesis 26:14. I would give you a page number, but I'm on the computer. And it says, okay, so it says, at this particular time, the Philistines started envying him because they're living in the same land. They see this man just prospering. And they just can't understand what's going on. How is it happening? I'm sure they're using the same water. I'm sure they're feeding the same food. But why does his flocks go a thousandfold like this? Could you imagine the explosions of animals and everything for this one herd compared to everybody else? Yes, sir. I'm gonna go. Yeah. Okay. Well, as I said, it says, you're right. It says because he sold in the land. So that means it was, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. But you see this amazing amount of bountiful harvest that God gives him. Yes, sir. Yeah, but
he didn't stay there. He didn't go to Egypt, but he went to the next.
Yeah. But the whole idea is that you see how he's growing compared to everybody else. And now the Philistines are like, they're envying him. They're like, this man's growing and we're not. Well, I'm pretty sure he's well off. Yeah, he took 10 camels. But definitely he's growing bigger. Okay, so they're envying him. And it says, for all the wells which his father's servants have digged in the days of Abraham's father, the Philistines have stopped up and filled them with earth. So they were so upset with him, they started filling in all these wells that were dug during his father's time. Now, I don't know. Like I said, I've never been in a point where you have such a lack of water. But, you know, if you're living in the desert and you destroy a water source, it's almost like some places would akin to that to murder, because that somebody is going to come to that source. I was watching a movie years ago. I love it. Three Godfathers. John Wayne. Love John Wayne. And the whole thing of the story was they were going through this desert and they found this woman. And her husband, you know, they have this little area that has water in it. And the idea is you move the sand away and the water will create in this area. Well, you know, he wanted to be lazy, so he took some dynamite and tried to blow the area up. And he cracked the table below and let the water go back in. So it's akin to murder, because you have this area that you know there's water at, right? So everybody's going to come to this area to try to get water. But once they get there, now they're going to find there's no water because somebody's destroyed it. And what if you don't have enough water to move forward to the next place or to move back? It's akin to killing somebody, right? Water is very important in a desert area. And these Philistines had envied him so much. They were so upset. They were so upset at how much he has grown that they wanted retribution against him, so they started plugging up all the water sources that his father had dug out, all the wells that his father had dug out during the time whenever he was sojourning in this same land. We know that Abraham went through this whole same land, did he not? They're going all over this place. They knew Abraham, and they know this is his son. It goes on to say that they stopped up and filled them with earth, for Abraham said to Isaac, For Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So he had come in, that opened arm, yeah, stay here, not a problem, you know, and then we had to deal with the wife. And now we see him growing and growing and growing. Abimelech sees Isaac getting so much bigger, and his own people overwhelming the area for his people. His people are probably coming to him saying, we got to do something with this guy. We see the same thing happen in Egypt, do we not, later on? So he comes to him. He's like, these people are getting to the point where we can't deal with them. We need to send these guys away. And I'm pretty sure he's like, okay, yeah, okay. So he goes to Isaac and he's like, sorry, Isaac, you got to leave. You got to leave. Get away from us. Because you're much more mightier than we are. And instead of causing a conflict, Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. So Isaac digged up the water wells which he had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistine had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He called their names after the names which his father had called them. So he moved back down in the same area that his father had walked around in. He found the wells. They knew where the water was. He cleared all the wells and he called them by the same name. He got down there and he worked out and getting all this stuff set back up, because yes, let's face it, you need water in the desert. While they were doing it, Isaac's servants digged in a valley and they found a well of springing water. It was evidently coming up. When I think of springing water, what do you think? water flowing from underneath, okay? A spring. It's not like it's not like just water just sitting there. There's a flow going on. You look into some of the water that they use in like in Kentucky that comes out of the limestones and everything flowing down through that. It's just such a beautiful thing. You imagine the springs that are flowing down through all this stuff. So it's springing up water. So I think about moving water when I hear spring, right? So they found a well of springing water, and the herdsman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of this well Esek, because they strove with him. So instead of arguing over this, they strove with him. The herdsman there of Abimelech said, this isn't your well, this is our well. So instead of fighting with them, they digged another well and strove also. So the name was called Sitna. So you see a pattern going home here, okay? They dig a new well. The herdsmen of the Abimelech come in. It's like, no, this is not yours. This is our area. This is our well. Thank you very much. Move on. So he went up from thence to Beersheba. Did I miss one? No, yeah, I missed one. It said, and removed from thence. They digged another well, and they strove against, and he called the name Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name Rehoboth. Huh? No, he's in Rehoboth right now. He's going to move up to Beersheba. Yeah. Anyway, he removed there then, so he digged another well, and they strove not, and they called the name Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful." He's like, okay, for now, this may not be permanent, but for right now, the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful. And he went up thence to Beersheba. And that, we didn't hear Beersheba. They've been to Beersheba. Let me tell you something. This is not new. They've been all over this land, okay? They know this land. They're nomads. They don't stay in one place long. You can't really do that, because if you're a herdsman, what do you have to do? You have to move your livestock from one area to another. I've never been a livestockman. What do you call it? Some ranch or anything like that. Thank you. But I've seen a lot of movies. I didn't stay in a something express last night. What was it? Holiday Inn Express. That wasn't me. Right? I have seen a lot of movies about Texas. And I know that you have to rotate your crops from land to land, because you have to get the land. They'll eat down the crops in a certain area, and then, or the hay, and then you have to move them to another pasture to where the hay is allowed it to grow up. And then you'll allow this to sow and grow up, and then you'll move them back and forth. So you can't stay in one area forever. And then I know a lot from the movies, because I know that sheep, cattlemen didn't like sheep because they ate the grass too short or something other. I don't know. That's what they said. I know you get to kill sheepmen when you're in the Old West. That's what the movie said. But anyway, I digress. But you have to move these things around. You just can't stay in one place when you have a bunch of livestock. Okay, they're going to eat all the material there that they can live off of, and you're going to have to move to another area. So they're always moving around. It's kind of the nomadic life that is part of it. So, he removed this and digged another well. I'm in Beersheba right now. And he went thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." I'm not doing this for you. Understand, he's going back to, he appears to him and tells him the same exact thing he told him right in the beginning, right? And I'm going to do all this for Abraham's sake. Not because of what you're doing. Abraham left his country and did exactly what I want him to do. where Abraham said, and he buildeth the, Israel. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thee for my servant Abraham's sake. And he buildeth there an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched a tent there. And Isaac's servants digged a well. Okay, so they took this area at that particular time when the Lord met him. It's amazing how usually whenever you see them having an encounter with God, the first thing they do is build an altar there to give thanks to it and to recognize the area where it was. You saw the same thing back during Abraham's time a lot of times, did you not? It all has to do to give an honor to God and what he was doing. Okay, 26. Okay, here comes back Abimelech. Then Abimelech went to him from Gear, and Huzzath, one of his friends, and the Phicol, the chief captain of the army. So basically, Abimelech went up to him with his advisors and his best general. Okay? He went up to, so he went up from Gear to him. And Isaac said to him, wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you? Evidently, Isaac was a little hurt the way that this was dealt with, right? I come down there to you, and I spend some time with you, and I didn't have any problems. Your people get a little bit mad at me. Evidently, y'all hate me, and you sent me away. Hate's a strong word, is it not? When I say I dislike you or I dislike what you're doing, that's one thing. When I say I hate it, it just takes on a whole another context in our minds. We don't use the word hate a lot, unless we're talking about exercise. But anyway, I digress again. So why are you coming up here? Why are you coming to see me, being that you hate me and have sent me away? And at least they're honest with him. They say, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, that God was with thee. And we said, let there be an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, but let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt not hurt, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and we have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now blessed of the Lord. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there to unpack. So let's just jump into it a little bit. He says, and now we certainly say we saw that the Lord was with thee. How do they know the Lord is with thee? The prosperity. They see them growing. You know, that's supposed to be the idea of us, right? We're supposed to be this shining city on the hill that everybody looks at and they say, I want some of that. What do you have that makes you shine so brightly? Well, let me tell you, there was this man that some 2,000 years ago was on a cross. That's what we're supposed to be. This, we don't always make it to that shining city, do we? But that's what we're supposed to be. And that's what the Lord was showing to thee. They saw these people that was being blessed so outlandishly compared to everything else around them. They said, it's got to be God's doing. So we see God, the God is with thee. It says, now so let there be an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Let's make a deal with y'all. I see God is with y'all. And if God sees y'all prospering, if y'all deem to go against us, we see God taking care of that situation too. So they're saying, they see the nation of coming out of this land, coming out of these people, and they're afeared of it. They said, let's make a covenant that we're not going to hurt you and you're not going to hurt us. Being that we sent y'all away in peace and not in war. We didn't try to take anything when we sent y'all away. Yes, sir. I don't know. It's all a matter of perspective, Coach. I can't delve into what another person's thinking. Yeah, I can't delve into that. But I do know for a fact that they wanted, they didn't want to muck around with Isaac and his people. They were not afraid of Isaac and his people. They were afraid of God, the blessings that He was given to Isaac and his people. If it was just Isaac, they wouldn't be scared of him, but they're scared of the God because they see how God has blessed him and how He's protected him. I'm sure there's a lot of people around. There's a famine going on in the land, right? How do you grow your field 100-fold when there's a famine going on in the land? How do you have many herds and many sheep and many servants when there's a famine going on in the land? You're working against what's happening in the land, and they see you prospering, and there nobody else is doing it. Why? Because there's a famine in the land. It's you know what? You see somebody in certain situations making a lot of money, you think, why are you making a lot of money? Everybody else isn't. You've got to be something going on here. You're either doing it by hook or crook, or somebody's blessing you. Anyway. And he made so at that particular time, he listened to what he said. So he made a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and swore unto one another. And Isaac sent them away and departed from him, and they parted from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day Isaac's servants told him concerning a well which they had digged, and said to him, they had found water. So it's almost like that same day his servants come up to you and say, hey, we just digged a well and we found some more water. Let me tell you something. When you're in the desert, water is gold. You can have all the money in the world, but you can't drink it. You can have all the property in the world, but you can't eat it. If it comes down to living or dying, I want to be around some bub over here that knows how to hunt, or I want to be around some farmer that knows how to grow stuff, than to be in the big city where all I got to do is go to the grocery and buy it. You need to be around. The whole idea is that water is life. And you come to it on the day which you make this deal with Abimelech, all of a sudden there's another well that's being thing. It's almost like God giving you a nod saying, good job, my man. Let me prosper you just a little bit more. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. Now we're going to turn. They kind of end that whole idea and thought right there when they come up to the thing, and they kind of turn it to a different area. And it says that particular day, and it says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. So you're kind of turning, they're kind of set, you're kind of setting up the next chapter. So we'll kind of dig off into that next week when we get to it. But is there anything that we went over today that we want to go back to, that we want to discuss more, that you want to bring out any other information? Yes, sir. After an agreement, they said this, and they did that a lot. They will name, if you see a big happening, they take and they name the area for it. And then you see a lot in the old names whenever names mean different things. I would have to go back and do the name search. I know that Jacob means deceiver, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. I would have to go back. I don't want to start throwing a bunch of stuff out that I'm not. But I'm pretty sure Jacob means deceiver, and I'm pretty sure Esau means a certain thing. In fact, it did. It said when Esau was born, it says Esau meant hairy one or something like that. I'd have, what? Hairy red. So you see a lot of times when they give names out, they kind of give names according to, you know, what the person looks like or the person's personality is going to be. Yes, sir. Yeah, because they have an oath that was given there, or somebody, this happened there, so they named the well off of kind of what was going on at that particular time. But evidently we say it comes to they say and it came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had dug and said unto him, we have found water. So evidently it was probably a different well at that particular time because they had dug in there. If they had already been a well there and there had already been water there, if it was the same well. Yeah. So that could be it too.
Abimelech is not Pharaoh. It's a title.
Yeah, it's a title.
It's not the same God.
Yeah, Abimelech, like what Coach said.
He's going to have to live 175 years because Abraham was already dead. But years before, Abraham already established this well belongs to me. It belongs to me. It belongs to my kids.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Mike, would you close this morning, sir?